Hello. Just want to say thank you very much for standing with us over the years. One of the things I remember was when Damon died and our heart was broken, we came in here, and the Lord was speaking to us about the Christian University. And everywhere we went, you know, people were saying, God said you should start a university, and we weren't listening. It's like, this is a joke, you know. But we came here, and I remember seeing one of the, what's his name again, Margaret?
Dave White.
Dave White, yeah. He came in, and he had his long hair and all of that, you know. And I thought, this man needs to get saved today. But, you know, after everything, Pastor Bob was talking to us, and he kept following us around, you know. And then he said to Pastor Bob, I have a word for Faithful and Mary. And I was like, what? You know, and he just confirmed the university that the Lord has been telling telling us through everybody. And I was like, you know, wake up, you know. And we kept the word in our hearts and went home. And the incredible things the Lord did, you know, the doors he opened, the people he connected us with, naturally we would never have, we didn't even know where the accreditation building was, you know, to start with. Incredible miracles the Lord did to start the university. And today, with the university, for instance, a lot of the village children, the villages that we have planted churches over the years, you know, some of the pastors' children are on full scholarship in the university, and incredible things are happening. And now I look back, and it's like God does not need my credentials, because people and I don't have educational credentials. That's why it didn't make sense that we should start a Christian university. But God doesn't need my credential. All he needs is my availability and humility in trusting him to use me to do whatever he wants me to do. And a lot of what you see, we couldn't have done without people like Margaret and the Loops, Ellen and Bob, you know, and yeah, and all the great people the Lord have brought alongside through the Cornerstone Charities. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to you guys. You know, these people come, Melissa, all the people who have come and gone over the years, you know, they help us to lay the foundations for all what you see today. It's such a blessing to see our children, little children. That girl, Abina, you know, she was, you know, I thought she's such a jibba-jabba, you know. She came to me one day and said, oh, I hear the school belongs to you. And she's like first grade. And I smiled, and she said, then you're really, really rich. So I noticed her from that day, and to see her go and come back as an accountant, it's just incredible, you know, to watch God using people like Faithful and I with nothing, you know, to see things happen. But we couldn't have come this far without people like you all praying, you know. And I know you are involved in missions. I see Erin, forgive me, you know, my mind is a little, Erin and his husband, Robert, you know, we trained Robert, you know, and Erin and Robert met, you know, in Ghana, because Erin was on outreach, and all what the Lord has done through them, and listening to them going back to Africa on missions, it's just so exciting. But I just want to say that we thank you all. Some of you prayed. You prayed for the teams who came. You gave, you know, for Margaret's team who came. You did what you should do. And so we are here to share the success story. It's not Faithful and Mary alone. We couldn't have come this far without you all. God bless you. And I pray that you will continue to stand together as a team. That the devil doesn't like unity. You know, he does not like unity. He comes to hit the church of God, scatter the flock. You know, and God will always start it all over again. You know, so just stand together with Pastor Bob and the elders here, and know that whatever you give here is touching lives out there around the world. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think as you were just looking at the show, we've planted 22 churches so far. And we train 11, just this Easter, we ordained 11 pastors. That means we are targeting 11 areas to plant more, churches. Now, it looks like the Lord has been burdening us into reaching out to win the souls. A few months ago, I was praying, and the Lord really just showed me in a vision. In a vision, I saw that blood was coming from his head, and blood was coming from his hands and his feet, his side. It's all blood gushing out. Now, as I was watching, he asked me, is there anything more that I should have done that I didn't do? And I said, no, this is enough. He said, then why my people are adding some things to what I have already done? And I said, what does it mean? He said, people are not preaching the simple gospel for which he has paid for. And I started weeping before the Lord because I was assessing myself. Am I doing the same thing that the Lord was showing me that very day? And it changes my focus for me to reach out more for people who are not saved, to just preach the simple gospel that the price has been paid and they have to receive what God himself have done. Amen. And also I would just add up with Mary to say a big thank you for praying and then standing over all these very years to see that university, a school, we are touching lives. We are touching lives. The little ones, we have 1,400 children in our school. And we see them praying, we see them worshiping, we see them embracing Jesus. Anytime Mary speaks, he makes an altar call. And all hands goes up. All hands goes up. Anytime all hands goes up. You see, so before we realize we are touching these very lives for the kingdom of God, I want to share something with you very short in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I will read starting from verse 10. We've been burdened over the years for us to see the visions of God. What God is doing, we're seeing it and flow in with him. And the call was for all people, not for some few, that everybody has been called and everybody have to see what God is doing on this earth so that we can all flow in with him. He doesn't want us to just take ourselves off from what he's doing today. Now, Abraham and Lot had a quarrel, disagreement. And so, the vision of God came to a standstill because of disagreement over and over and over. Now, it came that they have to separate themselves. And in verse 10, he said that, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. Now, he's now getting a vision from strife, from disagreement. Now, he came to himself that he had to make a choice. And he started watching to see what he can do. And when he lifted up his eyes, he saw the plain of Jordan. He saw the plain of Jordan, and he said that it is well watered. It has been done. It's a fertile ground. It has been done. Now, God doesn't give you and I an easy vision. He gives us a vision which seems impossible. That makes him God. If we see a vision which is easy, then don't go in. Because we never see God. God shows us things that looks that it can't happen, it cannot be done, we can't do it, that kind of a vision. And this guy, Lot, saw the plain of Jordan. It was already watered. And that was a vision that he saw. He has a short-sighted in his vision. In fact, over the years, we've been praying, and the Lord is bringing us up into visions to see what he's doing. Even though I cannot be in certain places, but when I see the visions of God, my prayer can enter into places where nobody can. Now, so we see that with God, he's able to do everything and anything. But he's looking for people who can see the visions which he's showing us. Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw just the plain of Jordan. And he likes it and he went for it. There was no challenges. Now, where there's no challenges, you will never see victory. You will never see the power of God. Mary and I have gone through so many situations whereby we thought that that's it. We are done. But it brought us into a place to really take our prayer life into the next level. We didn't want to go in there, but the Lord knows that we need it to enter into the next level. And God is training his church because he's coming for a church that is strong, that is able to stand in difficult, times. Lot took the easy road. It's all water. It looks great. He said, that's where I'm going. Now, the visions of God is seeing places, seeing people that you think that they would never be saved. Seeing people, seeing that they can never come to the church. Seeing things that seems impossible. That is what God will show you and I. And we have seen it over and over and over. Lot thought that he has made a great choice. He has made a great choice. I remember some time ago we gave a Bible. This is years ago. We gave a Bible to somebody in Greece. And we didn't know that in Greece, in those days, there was a law. You can never give the modern Greek Bible to anybody in Greece. It's against the law because their Bible is in the old Greek language, which only the priests in Orthodox Church can understand. And we did. And we got arrested. And some of our leaders have to go to jail for it. We prayed. But the Lord took us to Greece. We didn't know all the purpose. It was difficult. In fact, we were sharing tracts in Corinth, and we were arrested for sharing tracts in Corinth. For giving tracts to people, we were arrested. Because it's forbidden to give tracts or to change a Greek citizen into something else, because all Greek citizens belong to the Orthodox Church. Now, what we did brought some of our leaders to be sentenced, and they made an appeal. And the day of appeal, many organizations descended in Greece. And they were so embarrassed that day they changed the law from their books. But what we have to go through for the law to be changed, it wasn't an easy. Our life was threatened. We were on the news, in the TV, that we were caught. We were classified as a cult because we're coming from many nations. And people were calling at the TV station wanting to know, who are these people? And they were showing the Bible, the New Testament, we gave it to this boy. Then people were calling that, where can we find some to buy? But what we went through, God used it. So God will take you and I into a difficult situation. Oh, he will see a vision which he wants to change. But this guy, Lot, took the easy route. He took the plain of Jordan, which is already fertile. Now, Abram, who has the call of God in his life, because of strife, because he was not looking into what God was showing him, he got distracted. And many believers have been distracted into the visions of God, that our calling has been reduced. We can't see God. But you see, if you cannot see, if you cannot have a vision for something, you cannot accomplish it. First, you need to see something. That this is what I believe God is showing me. You need to have a vision. The Bible says that my people perish without vision. And God wants us to be equipped and to see what he's doing on this earth today. It is not few that have been called. Everybody has been called. And in verse 14, it says that, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot have separated from him. The Lord only spoke after Lot has separated from him. And certain things which we hold on to, certain situation which we look up to, hinder us from hearing even the voice of God. When I got serious with my walk with God, I lost so many friends. Because these friends are not taking me to where I want to go in God. I lost them. I lost them. He said, after Lot left, God began to speak to Abraham. He said that, lift up now your eyes. Lift up your eyes. It's a command. You've been bound down for so many years. He said, now I want you to lift up your eyes. You are not seeing what I want to show you. He said, lift up your eyes and see now from where you are. He said, see from where you are. When the Lord began to speak to me, I was standing in a position and said, begin to see from where you are. Are you satisfied in where you are? With your walk with God, with what you want to see happen, are you satisfied? He said, don't go to no place. Don't move. Just where you are, where you are. Just begin to see from where you are. Are you satisfied? And my answer to God said, I am not. I am not. In fact, we begin to experience the power of God when we begin to see his visions. To begin to see his vision. Now, you can say that, how will I know the visions of God? David said that, I have put God, the Lord is always before me. God was not far away. He wants us to see him so that he can share his heart on what we see around us, news, what we hear. God will begin to see us, to show a vision to us so that we can stand in and begin to pray. Some situation happened in our school, and Mary and I, we have said, we need a time off to go and seek the face of the Lord. So we took some few days off, and we prayed. We prayed. We came back, and qualified, we're having an all-night prayer in our room. See, we're praying when she sleep, I take over, and then we pray. We were praying all night, some few days. And we went back to the school there to speak to the children. These are the our junior high students. Then one of them came to us. They said, I saw an angel. I said, really? You did? You saw an angel? He said, I saw an angel holding a sword. And I said, you alone? He said, no. He said, when I saw the angel, I thought that, no, nobody would believe me. So I rushed and called 30 more girls. And when they came, the angel was standing there with a sword in his hand. So 30 of them saw the angel of the Lord. And we're telling them that he came to fight. He won the victory, and he wants you people to see that he was there. That's why when the first person saw him, he never moved. Now, why is it that? Because God is doing an amazing things in these days. He has sent these angelic forces to walk beside us. Beside us. Now, even as we are here in this room, they are here with us, whether we see them or not. They are here with us. So when we begin to see the visions of God, things begin to happen. things begin to happen. God said that, I want you to stand and begin to see from where you are. What do you see? Lift up your eyes and look. What do you see? Now, when the Lord was speaking to Abraham, he says that from where you are, it can be a place of discouragement. That you stand in a place of discouragement. You have been discouraged about certain situation that you have failed to see that God is almighty. You have failed to see that he is able to do everything. Only you see. And when you see, you pour in prayer. You pour in prayer. You call upon his name because you see that something needs to change. It can be a place of discouragement. But he said, stand from that place and begin to see yourself doing something. It can be a place of fear. Sometimes fear makes us to shrink and to be able to, to come boldly that God is with me. It can be a place of sickness. It can be any other places that can block our eyes to have the visions of God. Thinking that, oh, look at the way I look. I don't think I will be able to do A, B, C, D. Now look at me. I don't have this. No. God wants us to have a vision. Do we see him working with us? Because your prayer can go everywhere. I remember some time ago, we were praying and we were telling the Lord about a certain country. And I said, Father, if this man who has been so evil will not repent, take him. Somebody said, this is a harsh prayer. We said, take this man away. And you know, a few weeks, we heard that he was sick. And we said that, that's it. And truly, he was in some of the Islamic country. Now, why is this so? Because God wants us to see. Do you see his power? What can he do in those very situations? So no matter who you are, or what God is asking of us, that lift up your eyes from where you are. There can be a change. If only you can see yourself seeing things, seeing God doing certain things in certain situations. And God pointed to Abraham. He said that, begin to look to the north. What do you see? Already, Lot, he saw the plain of Jordan. But God, when he commanded Abraham to lift up his eyes, he said, look at the north. There's so many things Abraham could have seen in the north. But he was, because it was a command from God, look to the north. Look to the north. He turned his eyes to the north. And he was seeing so many things in his eyes. He saw the desert were there, but yet he saw something beyond the desert. He saw some few houses is there, but he saw that that place would become the place where God's people would dwell. He saw something. And after he had looked to the north path, because it was a command for him to look to the north, after he had seen into the north, the Lord spoke to him again. I want you to turn your eyes to the southward. Abraham turned to the south part and he started to see something. And when he saw very, very well, he saw an army of God marching through the land. He saw something great, something powerful. And when God saw that he had seen very well, he said, I want you to turn to the east. In fact, if you don't see well, God will never give you a new instruction. But when you begin to see the first things, you see the visions of God, he keeps adding up certain things to you. Do you see this? Do you see that? Can you see that my power can work over here? Do you see that we can feed 10,000 people who are starving? Do you see? Because this is the heart of God, that he can intervene into the affairs of man, but he can't do it alone. He needs you. That's why he said, my people, they perish for lack of visions. And he wants us to be visionaries, to see something, not for ourselves, but for his kingdom, so that his glory will be revealed on this earth. So everyone has been called. And Abraham looked because he has been commanded. And the Lord says that, now, you have seen very well in the east. Isn't it time to the westward and see, and tell me what you see. And Abraham looked into the west, and he saw something too. He saw something too. And God was pleased in what Abraham was seeing. In fact, what you see will compare God's power to work with you. Compare God's power to work with you. We've been in certain situations, and then we look at them and say, the Father, what do you want to do in here? Because we see that these people need the gospel. These people need to be saved. But when we look to ourselves, it looks impossible. It looks impossible. But because it is the visions of God, that God, we see it, that need to be done. He comes back in a way to open the doors and cause us to see the vision that we saw. Like Mary was talking about the university. You know, I don't like the word university, because we didn't want to go in that very place. We like to go out and then preach. And the Lord started speaking to us about the university. Wherever, we don't want to hear, but every city that we went, the prophets in those cities would tell us that the Lord says, study university. We came in here, somebody confirmed it over here, then we tell the Lord that, okay, now, in the cities in America, we keep hearing everywhere we went, now, we are going to Ghana. If this is of you, speak to us when we reach Ghana. So that's what we told the Lord. And when we reach Ghana, our PTA executive met us and said that, oh, Reverend Mrs. Bynum, he said, welcome to Ghana. You came from America. We said, yes. He said, thank you for bringing the Christian University to Ghana. And Mary and I will look at ourselves. I said, this man, who told him about this university thing? And then we stop. And I remember that we have asked the Lord to speak to us. And he confirmed it. And another pastor called. He said, what are you waiting for? He said, don't you see that it is time to start the university? And friend, we just surrounded and then lift up our eyes, our hands towards God. We said, now we surrender. Now we'll do it. And miracles started happening. Friends, God will open your eyes to see something which is beyond you, beyond the natural, beyond everybody, beyond everything you have ever imagined. It is beyond you. Don't put it down. It is bigger than you. If my vision is so little, then I don't need God. It's little I can do it. I don't need prayer. But the vision which is bigger than you, friend, when it comes to pass, everyone will know this is of God. Everyone will know that God has been with you. God has been with you. And I am asking you, church, be a visionary. Don't limit yourself. Be God's man. Be in your little room, the little closet, and dream dreams. Talk about what God is able to do in this city. Because it is your prayer with the Almighty God that will bring it to pass. Don't limit him. Some of the things people have done is they have limited God in their thinking, in their prayer. But you and God, you are in a majority. You can do greater things because you are asking him to do things on earth. His will be done on earth. His will be done on earth. And you'll be doing things in the secret place with God. You and him. Nobody knows that you'll be talking about certain situation with God. Nobody knows. But you, who represent heaven, will call upon heaven to come on earth to accomplish things for his kingdom. Abraham stood and he saw in the west side when God said, look to the west. And God is looking for people. Look around. See a vision. What do you see? What can I do? In the Bible, it's full of what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? It's filled with, in this Bible. It is time. We knew that God have sent forth ministering spirit, angelic hosts, to work to bring the last day's harvest. But it is going to be done with you. The angels are already on earth. In fact, they are waiting. In fact, they are waiting to move. They are ready to work. But all what God is looking for, do you see it? Do you see it? Can you pray for something to happen in the city? Something which has never happened before. But you, with God, can begin to pray that this is the time. This is the time. We weep before the Lord. We say, Father, if you died for this, we don't want your death to be in vain. So we want you to come in. That you die for these people, move. We want you to come down and do and bring a change so that people will know that truly you die for them. Abraham saw something in the westward. He saw that all the impossibilities turning into possibilities with God. Now, God was pleased with this man. Because when he was looking, God was pleased because he was seeing something that brought gladness into the heart of God. Now, something happened. In verse 16, he says that. Verse 15 says that, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. He said, what you see is what I'm going to give it to you. What you see. So my question is, what do you see? But it is a principle that works through everywhere. If you don't see something, it will never. If you live and think, well, I wish something might happen. I wish. In fact, the kingdom of God is not wishing. It is acting. It is believing. It's not wishing. You have to believe it that it is possible. God said, I'm going to give to you because you've seen it. Now, my question to you this morning, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? God is still in the business of multiplication, multiplying things, bringing things that do not exist and bringing to pass. Strengthen his church, bringing new ministries. Dude, begin to see yourself. When I spoke to my leader some years ago, I said that, I think God have called me to preach. He said, you? Because I don't look like one. I'm a shy person. Even when you greet me, I feel shy even to respond. I will use my head to nod when you greet me. So when I told him that, I think God have called me to preach. He could not believe. But I have a vision. But little that he didn't know that I will take little toys and gather them in my cabin and start to preach to them. I preach powerful. Sometimes I will preach healing. I say, all of you are sick. Tonight you're going to be healed. And when I preach to them here, I will take some and I say, you at once will get healed. You didn't have faith. She didn't get here tonight. So I kept preaching. I said, how many of you want to get saved? I said, all of you want to get saved. Then I pushed all of them here. It didn't make sense. I was doing that in my cabin. Until we went into the island of Fiji. And I was asked to go and speak in a church. And I did exactly what I've been doing. And people were amazed. How have you preached? I said, no, 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 no. I went to Kenya. And the pastor told me that you are preaching. I said, me? No. He said, yes, God said you should preach. I said, no, I'm not a preacher. He said, no, you have to preach. I said, me? So I was staying in the pastor's house. So when I said no, it doesn't work. I tried to persuade him. So we went to the church. This was the Assemblies of God Church in the Mombasa, a place called Nukuru. Now, when we went to the church, there was quite a lot of people there, almost about 400 people in the church. And my heart sank. Because up to that day, I don't know what I am going to say to the people. And I don't have a full Bible. My Bible was a small New Testament that I put in my back pocket. So the pastor told me that, Faithful, we'll sing two songs. And after the song, I will introduce you. Then butterflies started flying in my heart. I was so fearful. They sang the first song, the second song. And the fear, because I'm going to move into the unknown. Now, he introduced me, gave me the mic, and I said, God is going to speak tonight. God is going to speak tonight. And he translated into Swahili. And I said, God is going to speak tonight. The truth is, I didn't know what I was going to say. So I kept telling the people, God is going to speak tonight. And he translated, God is going to speak tonight. God is going to speak tonight. God is going to speak tonight. I kept saying, so he looked at me and said, is that what you're going to say? But he didn't know that is all what I have. So then a scripture came to my mind. He said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me, at least shall find me. I think I read it somewhere. I don't know where it was. So I said it. Then I said, they should all stand up. I have finished. So they stood up. And I was about to pray. And before I see, it looked like something happened. Everybody was down. I said, what is this? And I look at the pastor. The pastor was holding a wall. It looked like the wall was falling and he was pushing it back. And I said, what is he also doing? The Lord himself has invaded the whole room with his Holy Spirit. Now, the pastor told me that God brought you here. I said, that one I don't know. I don't know. He said, there's a deacon elders meeting. I want you to be part of it. So they took me to the elders meeting. I sat down and they were discussing about something. And I said two or three things and they all started weeping. He said, please tell us. Did God ask you to come to Nukuru, to this place? I said, no. No. But when I was coming back to Ghana, I heard an audible voice that said that if you seek your life, you will lose it. It was so clear. Now, why am I saying all these things? It is not what you think you know. It is what God is able to do through you. Let's have visions. Now, God said that all the lands that you have seen, that is exactly what I am going to give to you. In fact, some people don't have anything because you haven't seen anything. We have to be the people of a vision. See yourself doing something for the kingdom of God. You can enter places because you have a vision in your room. You can enlarge. It happens even in businesses. You can, and you see, God is doing something in these last days that he doesn't want anybody to be left out. So far as you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become God's own workmanship in Christ. So that we become to do his good works and to show forth his glory. We all qualify because we represent heaven. May God really this and bless you this morning. But remember, lift up your eyes and see where you are. If you are not satisfied in where you are, then begin to see something that you can enter into prayer with this. Can we stand up on our feet? I want to pray, but at the same time, I want you also to have a time for your own self to begin to start to have a vision for yourself. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for this day. We thank you. Visions comes from you. It's flow, Father, down from your throne room of grace. And I pray this prayer, Father, over this great congregation, that, Father, you will fill everybody's heart with your vision. They will begin to see the things you can take over, the power that can be released, the expansion that can take place, the things that can be changed, the impossibilities that are turning into possibilities, the increase of souls being saved for the kingdom of God, because you die for them. May this vision, Father, fall upon this great congregation. At the same time, Father, enlarge them and make them strong in you. Let God's vision rest upon you even this hour. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Amen.